This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective on 89.0 Free FM. Good morning, Fred.
Top of the morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good.
Nice frosty sunny morning.
My fingertips are just starting to thaw out.
Yeah, it's going to be a
nice day. It's going to be a nice day because the sun's out.
Quite interesting how your limbs don't work that well, or you can't get a finite feeling.
Extremities start. Freeze up.
And even trying to talk, it's like blah, blah, blah.
So frosty days and what was it? Getting out, you know, feeding out hay was one of those things. I remember
feeding out hay on frosty days, and we were down at Butaruru Way in Ngatira, and all the fantails, the cattle would be all steaming and all that, and the fantails would be, you know, like dozens of them all hovering above the stock while they ate the silage and the hay, and there were insects and fantails everywhere and steam. And I'd be sneezing because I always get the sneezes from the hay and the sunshine.
You haven't got hay fever, have you?
No, I don't. I sneeze a bit when I get a sunny day, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Only in the mornings, but
You remember those days? Leave them in the past, I reckon.
Memories, of course. You have memories as go along.
Too cold. Reminds me of being cold.
Yeah, can I, going on that, I've got a perfect intro on this.
I've
got my Forest and Bird magazine. And there's an interesting little article on Nature on My Mind, and it's actually about the positive effects of I've been involved with nature. And it's got this guy, and he's a world sort of scientist, he's a neuroscientist, Dr. Mark Berman, and it's an article about him in the Forest and Bird magazine. And he did actual proper research. You know how you often get, go for a walk, it'll do you good. You used to get that from your parents, et cetera. We actually did the science behind it and interviewed people and that.
So there's some veracity between them?
Yeah, it proved the veracity behind it. And so, the main points were a short walk in nature decreased symptoms for individuals with major depression. A short walk in nature improved the focus and memory of participants. Having 11 at least 11 trees on a street of average size is related to decreases in cardiometabolic diseases such as stroke, diabetes, and heart disease.
Right.
More green spaces around schools and homes contribute to better school performance and reduce crime. That's interesting.
There you go, National.
And the next one, children who spent more time in green spaces showed better attention and lower rates of ADHD symptoms.
Right.
And this is all scientifically backed. This is research. And nature exposure benefited people with Alzheimer's or mild cognitive impairment. Yeah. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an interesting article. And And I went through some of them, and I won't go through the whole article, but it just said when participants walked in nature, they showed a 20% improvement in cognitivity. In other words, they could remember things better.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it helps your senses focus a bit more.
Well, they say that a change is as good as a rest when you take 2 weeks off work and go somewhere, do something different. Yeah.
And they did the contrast against people like spending the same amount of time in a city street and asked the same questions, and they couldn't get as good a response.
I imagine it'd be more stressful in town.
Well, it's busier, isn't it? Yeah. You know,
so. And if you're on the bottom of the heap and you're struggling.
Yeah, and so, and then from that, so that's that guy. So that was, that's really, you know, it's good, the science behind it. So if you're listening, political parties, don't chop down the trees. We need more nature. But, and there's this other woman, and she's a Chantal Pagel, and she works for Frost and Bird, but she also does, is a guide for forest bathing. And it's
forest bathing.
And it's a German thing they used to do.
They're going the nude into the forest.
Well, that's what I wondered. And she looks quite a nice, pleasant lady, actually.
Swimming amongst the fallen leaves from last year.
But no, get your mind above the gutter, Mick. It's actually
I wasn't going there. You
I was, sorry.
You're doing that by yourself.
Get your hand out of your pocket, Craig.
I just got this mental picture of all his naked arms.
Well, so did I initially.
Swishing through the forest.
Because my eyebrows went
thrashing.
Up. I went, I'm a bushy, I suppose.
These things come from the left anyway, don't you?
That's right.
Naturism and stuff like that.
People just find a nice forest glade to go and lie down and just relax.
Yeah, and you're slow, you're walking, you don't walk
you
like slow, a
you
normal.
You breathe in and you just try and chill. Mm.
You glide.
Become
with
one
it.
With the earth.
You bathe in the... In nature,
yeah.
Without your clothes. Well, I suppose it'd be nice to take your clothes off if it's warm enough.
Well, I'm sure, chilly today. I'm sure they can accommodate those sort of people.
Well, yeah, but you can leave your clothes on.
Yeah. So. Don't, that's the clinical you.
It'd be a bit nippy in the forest going straight.
That's up there. Yeah,
New Zealand forest especially. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, that's my nature thing. Okay.
Yeah, speaking, be interesting with it, of nature things. There was a comment made by Mr. Seymour that we shouldn't be too horrible to our foresting people. You know, forestry.
Yeah.
And but in light of what happened with the treads that were washed down onto the east coast, I think that we should be. But he's thinking we should be kind to them.
Forestry slash.
Yes.
Kind.
We should be kind.
Well, you just leave them there.
Yeah, well, it's all to do with profit, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think, didn't some big company went into receivership? So, of course, they don't have to, won't be able to clean up their slash.
Yeah, well, yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's the downside of forests.
Well, yeah. and forestry, okay, produces timber and jobs and all that. So, you know, they are an important part of New Zealand's economy. But it's just, people want, or for anything, dairy farming or anything,
is
balance. All right, how do we get milk and products that we can sell and is good for the advancement of everyone? It should be not just a few, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But how do you balance that with how do we make sure that you can swim in the river, you can go bathing in a river that's not polluted, etc.
Or full of slash.
or full of dairy feces.
Or even
human feces, because let's face it, we get a big flood, etc. Everything gets flushed out, from the streets and everything else. So
we know all that.
Yeah. So we know it, but that's what interests me is people know that it's good, the environment's good for you, and not just this article, but also that it's important, but we don't tend to vote on it.
We should do, because without an environment, what happens then?
Mm. Well, exactly, but we tend to go, we won't vote on it, and then we go somewhere over to the islands or somewhere where it's a pure
nice
beach
spot.
And got trees, etc. Like, we don't go to Port Waikato. The farmers don't go to Port Waikato for their summer holiday. They go to the beach house somewhere where there isn't a lot too much intensive farming, etc.
Yeah, well, we know.
Or overseas or whatever. And not just farmers, of course.
Yeah.
But it's just an interesting thing. We all like nature, but we don't tend to vote on it. It's not our priority for some reason. And it goes back into the flood issues they've had and all that. Everyone goes, oh, it's terrible. But do we go, well, we actually need to lock up some of those floodplains and stop them being farmed?
Yeah, they'll grizzle about it as far as it goes.
Yeah, and that's just not the people involved. It's all of us, as humans, it seems to be. It's,
Yeah, because I think people, just to sort of promote something, there was an episode of the Big Hairy News, okay, that's on a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And there was a, what this one was, had on it that they sort of basically looked at this interview where it was on, must have been on TV One, where it had Ryan Bridges, Marama Davidson and David Seymour. And it kind of looked like, from the observation that Bridges and Seymour were picking on Marama Davidson. And they were, and these two were supporting farming and all that sort of stuff, and it almost sounded like they were supporting bottom trawling as well. But she stated facts in her arguments, and it made the other two look rather
stupid.
Well, they hadn't brought any facts, I suppose.
But they didn't bring any facts.
They just put the assumptions
and prejudices. And she brought that there, and that was kind of summed up by one of the co-hosts of the Big Hairy News, whose radio name is Chewy. I forget what his other name is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, worthwhile having a look at that particular one.
Yeah.
Seeing how,
if you want a demonstration of just how biased the news is,
just give
them a perfect example.
But you said at the beginning, it's balance, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a balance, okay? We need production, we need economies, etc.
But to do that, something's got to give.
Yeah.
You can't have it all one way.
And we also have to, if we want quality of life, because otherwise what have we become? You know, we just have a society and its culture and its landscape just barren and awful. And the guy said, the worse your landscape, etc., that flows into humanity and health and the societal issues, etc., etc. So, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't concern the ones you could do something about it, though.
No, yeah, that's
what
true.
I say, they still have the privilege of going to the lake house or to the beach house.
You know, yeah. The rest of us have got to put up with...
Yeah.
Yeah, and what Marama Davidson actually said, we're not against farming.
No.
One of our new candidates is a farmer.
Yeah.
From one of these areas who's standing one of the seats, probably one of the rural seats.
Yeah.
And they're farmers who've got great that bring balance to the farming versus the environment.
So her focus is more sustainable.
Yeah, sustainable stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Those two idiots are on
short-term gain.
Short-term gain for long-term what?
Yeah. And that's the trouble. New Zealand's products are sought after in the world.
Mm.
And, of course...
But it comes at the cost.
People see dollar signs and go, oh, yeah, I can get another cow on the side of that hill. I'll take that scrub off and, and off it goes. Or let's drain the swamp. And we haven't got many swamps left at all.
Mm.
Natural wetlands, etc., because they were easy to drain. The whole Hauraki Plains, etc. Yeah. And it does produce lots of milk and wealth, etc. But where's the balance, you know?
Yeah, and you can't
mitigate floods if you haven't got swamps.
Exactly. What do swamps do? They absorb water, you know?
And we go back to your article is, Fred, and we talk about, we talked off air about a program called The Time Team.
Yeah,
we talk about that. And some of the places that they go to. So, and the thing about nature, you go through nature, good for your mental health.
Yeah.
That's cool. But you see some of the areas where they do their archaeological digs, these places have been stripped centuries ago of trees and everything. Mm. Cornwall and I think some places up in the Scottish Isles.
Yeah.
So we're...
Yeah, white timber had to go to make fleet naval ships.
And all that sort of stuff.
Trading ships. Yeah.
So going through... One way people feel a little bit depressed in some of these areas, then you go into a forested area within that space. Feel good,
and
some parts of the Middle East were like that. They were once forests,
yeah.
They were stripped because the Romans and the Phoenicians and all them were just building ships
close to home, Australia, and New Zealand. Let's face it, we've only got 3% of our native cover that we used to have, or something.
Yeah,
it's not a lot.
No, we stripped it,
for
commercial gain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, you know, the argument you can have the argument is, we needed that to. To progress and to feed families.
No emphasis on like replanting or.
No, we didn't realise that the connectivity is.
Mm.
That
yeah.
We were part of nature, we just wanted to dominate nature.
We've never been part of nature, we've always dominated.
Yeah, that's
the planet's there for us to be exploited.
Exploited. It's capitalism, maybe, you see.
Recalling the fire that burnt down the Cathedral of Notre Dame in France.
Mm. Mm.
So they had to rebuild it. There was forests set aside which grow, I think it was oak, isn't it?
Yeah, it's oak. Yeah.
So they would go in there, and they wouldn't just go and take the whole bloody lot. They would sort of
selective.
Well, they had to change the law because in France, I haven't got the exact details, but there used to be you could only take so many these oak trees out a year.
Yeah, but
then the Notre Dame happened, and they wanted more. They needed more of this oak timber, so they actually had to pass it through their parliament as a special one-off to allow them to take more.
Yeah, but it's still
it is a one-off. Right. Yeah,
but it's still selective though.
Oh, it's selective, and it's done on I'm sure it's done on a 100-year cycle. So it's not done on a 30-year cycle.
So it's sustainable.
It's a sustainable type of forestry.
Probably they thought that that change to the law would be still sustainable, but we here have just stripped everything out.
Well, we did, and we
another place is covered with a monoculture, which is not very good for the environment.
Well, sure, especially, you know.
Well, microbes all in the soil comes from diverse vegetation. Yeah. Mm. We've now got monocrops.
Yeah.
And that's caused by commercial greed. Yeah.
But there are improvements. We shouldn't
just... Not all doom and gloom, but...
And there are forestry firms, et cetera, and landowners that have left their guts, you know, in native bush. And they've got a combo of pine trees and native bush. And I know firsthand, you know, when I was helping my daughter look for kiwis, or and in these what I call a mixed blocks of pines and native bush, we'd often get the kiwis out in the pines, in logs or a little bunch or a rackberry or something. They were in there as well.
Yeah, they adapted to their surroundings.
But there was a mix, so they had a chance, you know. Yeah,
I understand all that. It goes back to what we've said at the start about forestry and mental health. Yeah,
but that's the argument you're talking about in that program where you've got the two individuals just poo-pooing the other person's sustainable argument. That's happened around the world because it was on Al Jazeera a while ago and they're talking about the economy and they're saying, yes, I'm not against growth and economic, it's sustainable growth that we need, not just this rampant pillage and rape. Which is what we've got.
And the worst of the two is the fishing one.
It's got to be sustainable, sure.
Yeah, and they're just going through with these bloody big...
anything gets dragged up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's fish, shellfish, reefs, whatever.
Seafloor,
just gets dragged all up.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
No, we're still very much sort of rape and pillage, I'm afraid.
Yeah, this has been endorsed by our so-called the Minister of Largesse. But Marama Davis was good enough to say that we talk to farmers. We do talk to them. We don't just sort of make these our policies in isolation. Yeah. And of course, there'll be farmers on board with green policies, as you rightly say.
Well, let's face it. These days, farming—you know—if you're a farmer, most of them are very wealthy people, families, etc. They do get to go and look at nice places in the world, etc. So they do see the benefits of, and a lot have. Mm. A lot have fenced off the farm blocks of land, of forestry. Not so much swamps, but, you know, that's all education. People didn't understand that the swamp acted as a sieve for rivers and streams, etc. But that's coming back in a large way. And Fonterra, if you believe them or not, they have got an environmental wing and they are trying to sell to their farmers.
I'm always suspicious when a company has a green department.
Yeah, well,
they call it greenwashing.
Myself too. But
if it's genuine, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
And there's some have done a wonderful job of balance, which, you know. Yeah. So.
But those walk with dollar signs in their eyes will. I extra cow on that hectare of land.
Yeah.
I mean, I get my books in the library, and now these days you look in the bottom of the opening page, and it's been sourced from sustainable.
Of course.
I get a bit suspicious because this capitalist model and this sort of green environment doesn't always go together.
Yes,
it's been exploited because it's another branding. Yes, we're a company and we really care, but it's just a soft soap.
Is it genuine, just a sell?
Or is it just part of a con?
Yeah, a bit like the blue greens with a national.
Yeah.
And I always think
suspicious.
Blue green. Isn't that a nasty algae? well.
Yeah, except to give them their credit, the Blue Greens have often, all on the left, have made various attempts to stop something, and it's been the inside of the Nats themselves, the Blue Greens, that have actually stopped and held up because some conservation
I think projects. There's something to do with it.
It goes back to they heat. Get to travel to enjoy them, you know.
I think it's also about also feeling the heat as well from their, well, from the, could from be the constituents. Well. Yeah, that may be part of it too.
Yeah, maybe
large part of it.
You got something. You were talking about you had some results from the local.
The Energy Trust results, but it's the voter turnout was appalling.
What was the turnout?
I think it was 10.14% of eligible voters participated.
What? Gee.
10.4.
Do you want my confession now, or should I just go out and just flash my back
with
my...
Did you forget to vote?
I did. I didn't forget, but when I remembered, it had already passed voting time. Yeah,
so, I remember a couple of times saying, have you voted for it?
Yeah, you did.
It's up on the kitchen bench. You haven't lost it? No, I haven't lost it.
My fault entirely.
Just over 10%.
But looking at the results, who I would have voted for wouldn't have changed it.
So. No, you wouldn't have. Because
I mean, I only voted for one person who's put themselves forward.
And they
did. Of all the people that I voted for, I think only one got there. Because it was only... I looked at people who kind of worked in the community.
Specified what community. Because now that's become another buzzword out in the community. Do they mean business community, or do they mean community in the sense that we mean it?
So the people who were declared the winners were Rachel Afiaki, Jeff Booth, Alan Chu, and that's C-H-E-W, Paula Southgate, Matt Silverton, Michael West, and Adrian Yamanana Nathan. Yeah.
Okay. That's the vote. At the end of the day, that's the vote.
And four of those belong to one team called the Your Discounts team.
Oh, a political block.
I think the only person who didn't belong to a bloc in that crowd...
Paula Southgate.
Stood as an independent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's it for another 3 years. Yeah. I think it was appalling last time as well.
Well, people don't see the connection, I guess.
People don't see the... I think the thing in this one is people don't see the connection between... The Well Energy Trust and the funding that they give to community groups who benefit groups of people.
Yeah. And the confusion between Well Energy Trust and Trust Waikato and
I only voted for one person because the rest of them, I didn't, apart from Paul Southgate, I didn't know who the hell they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know, yeah.
They said that, we've been out in the community, but what sort of specific projects have you been involved in? There was nothing like that.
So. And some of them are only there for name recognition.
What does it pay?
You can look through that list here, and some former councillors, for example, or linked to a political person, linked to an MP.
Yeah.
The only person I know who kind of looks like they represented a community group was Annette Evans, and I think she was Endometriosis New Zealand. I think that's her group. Yeah.
Paula Southgate's got the acumen and the experience. You can understand it. They do have the people say, "Well, at least she knows how to run a meeting," and at least, you know, there's that sort of thing.
And people know it. Yeah, she's a brand.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, indeed. And if there's a teams in there, that they would have gone out and sourced their.
I'm surprised Angela Strange didn't get it. I thought she's done a good job in regional council. Sorry, Angela.
Sorry,
I couldn't find me.
The other thing that I got was about. Farage.
Cool.
He faces questions over donations from a convicted fraudster.
That's right, because he's one of two right-wing politicians this week.
Yeah.
One, Farage is forced to buy election in Clacton on Sea.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the other one was Marine Le Pen, who had a 5-year suspension from participation in elections reduced to 2 years, so she can stand
as president.
She can stand for elections next year.
Yeah, right. this... the thing that they're looking into because
$5 million bitcoins,
five million pounds.
Farage is facing a probe.
Unfortunate.
By Parliament standards,
well, maybe not. He deserves a probe.
by Parliament standards, watchdogs over a $5 million or US $6.7 million gift from a Thailand-based cryptocurrency billionaire
who is actually a Brit.
He's a Brit, yeah.
An expat.
I think he's an Irishman, isn't he? I think. His name is there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the Farage clip. But he's a dual citizen, I think. I saw the Farage clip when he announced it, and it was all cringeworthy because it was all being pious and sanctimonious. I'm doing this for democracy to fight against the establishment, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, no, you're not. You're just an opportunist. How much is it going to cost the people of Clacton for a by-election?
£250,000 or something.
So it says here, on Sunday, an opposition politician asked the watchdog to open another investigation over donations from a convicted fraudster. Liberal Democrat lawmaker Josh Barberine said there is a serious question as to whether Mr. Farage met his obligations under the Code of Conduct for Members of Parliament.
Well, it's very interesting and involves a little bit about a ex-New Zealander who was from Hamilton, the Chandler brothers. They had a store here, Chandler's. It used to be around in the 70s. Yeah.
Well, they made
a lot of money, and they live offshore now. But one of them was brought up. Anyone asked a little bit more about reform and this whole thing with Nigel Farage and the thing, Double Down News has just put out who is reform and who's backing it. Because Nigel Farage, and the reason why he's having a back by election, he's saying, "Well, I want the people to decide my fate." Blah blah blah. This is the people versus the establishment. And Double Down News is pointing out that actually. Reform gets all its money from establishment figures, most of them with offshore and living in offshore tax havens, etc., or their businesses, etc.
So this is the recent Double Down News, is it?
Yeah, just out today.
I just Google Double Down News. Yeah, yeah. Nigel Farage, it should come up.
Yep, it'll come up. Yeah, well, it'll come reform. But
he came across, he was defending democracy against... Yep. No, you're not. You're just an opportunist.
But you want to hear the amusing thing is, of course, he's announced this by-election to prove his innocence, but of course, all the major parties fell in line and said, no, we're not going to contest. But Count Binface has said he's going to contest it. Okay. And, of course, it's made media attention, not just in the UK, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this hasn't been all official yet. Although he said he's going to resign, he hasn't put the papers in.
He's only announced it.
Yeah, and so Binface said, no, I'm going to run against him on my policy.
Because this all arose, did he get the money before he declared he was going to go for...
Yeah, before he was an MP, et cetera.
And so it's parliamentary rules, isn't it?
Yeah, but what happens is if he gets elected, if he does win his by-election again, and Count Binface doesn't win it, which they say there's a good odds that Binface could be
he could be a representative in Parliament.
It could, and he's got a big bin. He comes in a costume and he's a bin and a plastic bin and eyes, and it's look him up. But
I've seen he was in the other by-election.
Yeah, he's often in by-elections. Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah, professional.
But anyway, Count Binface is going to be. It's made the big attention. Mm. So this will show up. Nigel Farage, if he loses to Binface, you imagine what that's going to cause in Britain.
It'll be almost on a par with the lettuce, isn't it? Yeah.
but if he wins, the rules about the committee that's looking into his alleged donations, etc., then that just carries on again. So you can he's not really achieving any. If he doesn't get beaten, they can just rehab the committee once he starts up again.
This could go
on a loop
at the expense of the taxpayer.
This is
even more to it about this person.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday Times has reported about Farage's financial relationship with George Cottrell, an aristocratic crypto gambling entrepreneur and an on-off aide to the Reform UK leader.
Mm.
Cottrell was arrested at Chicago's O'Hare Airport in 2016 while travelling with Farage over allegations he offered to launder money for undercover agents posing as drug traffickers. Indicted on 21 charges related to money laundering, fraud, blackmail and extortion, he agreed to plead guilty to a single charge of wire fraud, admitting attempting to defraud criminals on the dark web by masquerading as a money launderer. He served 8 months in prison. Yeah. So you've got to be careful who you choose as your friends.
But this is going back to this Double Down News thing.
Yeah.
It's about the connectivity of all these wealthy people. I don't know what the detail, I didn't pay that much attention, but I noticed Sir Chandler's name was brought up, and it said ex-New Zealander
as
was
well,
involved so, in one of the companies that, I don't know if it was supporting or not, but and whether it, but it was just interesting, the names of all these influential, wealthy people were in Reform. When Reform goes along and he pretends, come and have a pint of beer with me, we're against those.
I'm an ordinary bloke just like you.
And who does that remind you of who did that in America? Donald Trump.
They all do it.
Pretending that they're one of the commoners, you know?
They're not.
Starmer did it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Given his background on his father's trade as a fitter turner or something like that, or
I'm the son of a toolmaker.
Toolmaker or something. He's also
a tool of a toolmaker.
Yeah.
He made a tool.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he come from humble backgrounds. I think he was in Brazil once. He said he came back from the favelas trying to identify with the ordinary people. What?
Yeah, this is really stinks, eh? Cottrell, they say he's 32, remains close to Farage in the Sunday Times. And said he gave the politician funding for staffing and security before the 2024 British election, general elections, as well as the use of a townhouse near Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, and his mum, the young one, the guy who went to prison, I think his mum's quite close too. And a lot of these, it's interesting, this Double Down News things, go back to, about a lot of these Tories have jumped ship and backed Reform.
Yes.
But see, if Reform might... They might go for a clanger because this whole thing could blow back. So what are these ex-Tory MPs who've now jumped on Reform ship? Will they jump back again? What will they do? They're just shallow.
And if they do, I hope the population sees through it and says, no, you can just...
On your bike.
On your bike.
Yeah. So it's going to be quite amusing because, of course, you know, here you're going to have debates with Nigel Farage and a bin.
Inquiry could be a hurdle to Reform's rise. If Farage is found to have breached the rules, everybody shakes his head. He could be suspended from Parliament. A suspension of 10 days or more would allow voters in his Clacton constituency in eastern England to trigger a special election for the seat.
And they have the bin.
Base.
You get 10% of the... If he gets suspended, they're allowed to put... You can get 10% of the voters, you can ask for a vote.
And you're saying, again, what you were saying about this is Trump-esque. It could be a serious blow to a party whose rise has echoes of Trump nationalist anti-immigration playbook. Farage has capitalised on... Critics have stoked concerns about migrants and da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I do think even before the whole thing about him resigning, Reform hasn't done that well in the last three by-elections where the media built up, they were going to...
They had a split on the right because you've gone from Reform to Restore.
Some of them, but also their star is waning, so to speak.
Well, maybe people are seeing through him at long... Well, he's a charlatan,
Well, he appears to be a grifter.
He doesn't live in England, does he?
Well, he probably does at times. Okay, people voted for him. It's like Trump. You know, all his faults, people vote for him. But this could be quite harmful. If the bin wins, this is going to hurt Reform. You know, so it'll be interesting.
It'd be nice to see him come down.
Yeah, and speaking of Reform, a former Nash, a Conservative MP, Ann Whittacombe, was murdered overnight.
Yeah,
apparently, also was arrested for the murder overnight. She had joined Reform,
and she was a Tory before that.
Yeah, she was a Conservative. Yeah,
Dartmoor somewhere, wasn't it?
But she wasn't very popular. But that's no excuse for
said it was controversial.
But whether it was to do with that or something.
Or mental health issue.
Well, given where she lived, Dartmoor.
Who knows? And there's been a few, you know, politicians have paid with their, you know, paid with their life. Often people who have got issues take them on. What was that, Ann Cox? What was the lady, Joe Cox?
She was
murdered in her...
In the street, wasn't she? Yeah.
At her, well, they call them surgeries, don't they, over there? Mm. She was at a surgery, which is a...
Yeah.
Where the people...
constituents meet their MP.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and what do we call it?
Yeah,
we can't find our MPs.
Yeah, regardless of the policy, I don't want anyone to get killed.
No, of course we don't.
It's counterproductive.
And no,
it's just...
And you can sling off at people and all that.
What happens, they increase security, blah, 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 and it just becomes a vicious cycle.
Well, see, that's what Farage is using this whole thing. He got the £5 million for pay for security because he's been attacked, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, yeah,
well, it's interesting. One of the jokes was the last by-election, they covered it on Have I Got News for You, that had the by-election in Birmingham. No, Macclesfield. And he was going around and he made the comment that he wasn't getting as much verbal abuse as he usually got. Apparently he's not particularly popular.
No, because he's never there. But but what he's got the same as Trump, he's got lots of confidence.
And cronies.
And also, he can laugh at himself. And Trump can too.
Mm.
And that's when they can...
disarming.
People like that. Disarming, that's a good word. Yeah.
You've got to see past that, though, because they're a politician. Rule number one is you don't trust politicians.
Which is a pity. We should, you know, politicians...
If you don't trust, they should be held account.
Yeah,
But there's examples when Trump's not has been rather thin-skinned, though.
Can I say just something else on the UK? Andy Burnham, is it Barnham?
Burnham.
Yeah.
He's coming up with a half apology for his party's response to the Gaza.
If it's half an apology, then it's not really an apology, is it?
No, it's not. It's not the full way, but it basically is saying that we could have done things better. But he still hasn't called it a genocide.
They could have done things better. Does that mean he's going to try and do things better?
Well, it's be wait and see. But, he's going to get a honeymoon period. And this is him reading the room, realising this thing is a big issue. Because there's still thousands of what you call normal Brits got charges against them for saying they support Palestine
action.
And a lot of these people have never been
there's a good documentary on Al Jazeera at the moment about Labour Party, and the Party of Duplicity. And it talks about Starmer, his stance on Gaza, and it's worth listening to, right? But sobering.
Yeah,
and you just think these people just.
Yeah, but it's Annie Burnham, man. But he's still sort of saying, "Oh, you know, October 7th was bad," blah, blah, you know, still overemphasised that.
It was bad, but all the other stuff that went on before and afterwards.
Yeah, the hundreds. Yeah.
Who did most of the killing on the 7th anyway?
So that's interesting that he has realised that it's this is something that he will have to grasp.
He will have to grasp it.
You know, if they got any sense, they will drop all the charges against all the protesters.
Well, that would be a good start.
I'm not saying the ones who did criminal damage. No. If you break a window, you break a window. That's you shouldn't do it. But the people who put up a sign saying "I support Palestine action," they should drop that. And the courts have said they should drop it, and the government's the one is fighting in the
appeal court. Again, at taxpayers' expense.
So that's it on my UK side. Watch the space.
Be a notorious tagger on Facebook. That's what you should be.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed a lot lately that there's a lot of... Because I go onto Facebook not so often these days, but I see a lot of the... right wingers popping up all over the place.
Oh, they're coming out in the woodwork.
Keyboard warriors.
They come up like Simeon Brown, ACT, Shane Jones, etc.
They rise to the surface like a wolf.
That's not them. That's people supporting them.
Yeah. No. Their Facebook pages come off of mine.
Get your supporter base.
So I won't do what somebody said to them, but I just put Free Palestine on and just pass the bus.
Leave it. Yeah.
Notorious tagger. What do you got there, Mick?
I just wanted to, at the beginning of the week, I noticed that it was covering Al Jazeera. And they were talking about the relief that's being sent out to Venezuela, the earthquake damage and the medical team. and which has got on those countries. I think Spain was involved, some of Europe. The one country that did send out assistance but didn't get a mention, I made a point of looking through all the papers all this week, was Cuba.
Yeah.
Once again, they've sent out two or three medical brigades to help the population recovering from the dreadful earthquake. Well, I think the death toll is estimated at 3,000 now, and there's something like 16,000 missing or unaccounted for. And so good on Cuba. Once again,
and they've always done that.
Country that's been hammered by political sanctions has still managed to
do the right thing. And they've done that for every major emergency. Cuba's always put their hand up. You know, it's a credit to them. And what do we do in return? We follow America's, you know, a lead. And
treat them appallingly.
We're trying to starve them out.
We cut off their fuel supplies. They can't run hospitals on generators, medical supplies. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah.
And good on the Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
You've managed to rise above this provocation and do the right thing.
Still do the right thing.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, tough.
Mm.
Yeah, because I always go back to what I said when the earthquake, the US sent in military aid.
Yes.
Why was that? Why wasn't not relief aid?
Still military, civil emergency.
Yeah.
Well, they would have put in military tents and stuff like that, no doubt as well.
No, either badly worded or badly reported, or both.
But remember, when we talk about this off air, Hurricane Trina, Katrina, all those years ago.
Yeah.
And
Cuba offered straight up.
They did.
Yeah.
Straight up. Yeah.
And America turned it down.
Yeah, flat.
And
didn't do anything.
And then took ages to respond.
Because
how many people died? Most of them were African Americans.
Well, and they were poor.
Yeah.
Or property damage and everything else. They were treated.
So, despite the provocation, Cuba time and time again has managed to rise above
and do the right thing.
Yeah.
A humanitarian.
Yeah.
Another thing caught my eye was at the beginning of this week, saw the 6-day funeral for Ali Khamenei in Iran.
Yeah.
And 6 days, and I came across this article, and I'm not sure these people were invited to go to the funeral or they attended out of their own volition, but foreign heads of state who attended were Pakistan, Tajikistan, Georgia, Iraq, Armenia. Senior political dignitaries and delegations included Russia, China, Turkey, Turkmenistan, India, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman, Cuba, Serbia, Belarus, Afghanistan, and Namibia. Now, I'm going to ask you, General, can you guess how many representatives from the Western powers went?
Does it rhyme with Nero?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Zilch.
Yeah, isn't it terrible?
Someone said, well, actually, these heads of state were invited. I said, well, okay, maybe, but... And the Iranians didn't release the entire list of... I've got it down here for you. So they didn't give the full list, but they gave what I managed to glean from the article that...
But is this the West because they feel guilty that they murdered him, or they...
Or they really don't care.
Iran's the enemy.
Mm.
And
apparently.
And if they'd gone there, then it would have been, that's a bad look, so we have to stay away.
So, out of all these countries here, the one that stands out to me is Namibia.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Cuba's there again.
Cuba's there. Well, Iran is a country, and it's been terribly picked on. And
I don't support the Iranian government because as we've discussed before, they're just as brutal as
Tajikistan.
But this doesn't excuse the fact that all the war's done is pushed all the population around around the government.
Yeah.
It's
counterproductive.
And even as quoted as Trump saying, "Oh my God, there's millions of them. I thought they didn't like him." You know, so
But he poo-poos intelligence. I know best. And he's pushed them together.
But going on American intelligence,
I know it sounds like an oxymoron. But
Well, the weapons of mass destruction.
We've been there, done that.
And we got sold the pup of them blowing up Scud missile launches.
Yeah.
And they still found most of them intact after the war.
So, like, all these countries, like you mentioned, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Georgia, Iraq, Armenia.
Yeah.
That's also another news one, because that's a predominantly Christian country.
Yeah, but it's close to Iran. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Armenia.
Yeah, they're all somewhat border.
Yeah, yeah. But Namibia stands out to me, as I said before.
Mm. But the news clips they've been shown on it, it's the streets have been swamped. There's thousands.
Yeah. Well, he was an old man. He was.
But apparently he's been buried in Iraq.
Well, he went to Iraq because of the sheer population.
Yeah, I think it was his hometown or something. So he's actually been buried in some place in Iraq.
Yeah, but...
So the 6 days, this coffin's been floating around the streets, like, being carried by thousands of mourners.
What gets me, the people that died with him,
Like his family.
His
little grandchild. And they weren't fighting anyone. The Homo Strait was open. America, at probably Israel's bequest, it seems, decided that they'll have a go at them. And they murdered. They killed all those schoolgirls, else. This wasn't a fair fight.
But the Iranians are the bad guys.
Exactly. And this old guy, who he didn't hide or anything. He just stayed in his house and said, it's my time.
Yeah. So he was terminally ill too.
They murdered him.
So the Iranians aren't going to back down. I mean, I keep one ear, otherwise it gets a bit monotonous because there's no change. But I get the impression they're not going to back down.
Well, what are they going to have if they back down?
Trump wants complete capitulation, unconditional surrender. That's what he wants.
And then they'll what?
And the Iranians aren't going to do that. And yes, exactly. Oh, if unconditional surrender, okay. You can have peace, but we want access to your oil or your mineral.
And they'll just go to various sellouts, suitcases of money, and it'll be another failed state.
They'll basically pillage Iran.
Libya.
Yeah.
Hello.
I think 1953 is very much on their mind.
Yeah, they've been here and not going to go there again.
Interesting, in this whole thing, there was a posting that was made, and I think it was on Facebook, but the article didn't relate to the comments that were made when I looked at the comments. They talked about the Iranian airliner that was shot down by the Vincennes.
That's
a long time ago, wasn't it? A few years ago.
There was a few things in there. They compared that to the...
Was it one where the airliner supposedly crossed an international boundary and it was...
That was a Korean one. Compared that one to the Korean one. The Korean one had flown into...
Straight over.
...into Russian airspace, and they were warned, and then they were shot down. Yeah. This one was shot down... without any warning.
Yeah,
by that ship, and the people, and I have to say it, what pissed some United States citizens off was that some crew members of that ship were given honorary medals and all sorts of stuff for what they'd done.
Well, you look at this war against Iran. Let's face it, how many medals have been dished out to the Israeli military and the Yankee
God
military?
God knows.
And for what? Murdering kids in a school, a nation that you're not at war with until you decided to be.
And what really got me is that somebody actually mentioned, because they showed pictures of the people that were killed.
Right. That passenger thing. List, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what got me was that there was, I think it was 15 members of one family.
Gone.
They were heading to a wedding.
Mm. Wiped out.
Yeah.
Well, look at Gaza. Go back to Gaza.
How many
hundreds of families ceased to exist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just, there's no one.
Nobody, they're gone.
Yeah. And the same's happening in Lebanon.
Yeah. And so on.
Yeah, it goes on and on. Never ending. But meanwhile, someone's making obscene profits.
Yeah.
Because every bomb that's made, most of that money is money. And the money, the profits from it all stay in wealthy Americans' hands and wealthy world citizens' hands,
And that war continues, doesn't it? Even though we've got the funeral event in Tehran, I'd say, where that's happening, the attacks still go on.
This is the war that was, and now, this is the sad thing. The strait was running, the boats were all got, ships were all going through, everything else. But
Trump decided that.
Trump and Netanyahu decided, can't have that.
We can take them out in 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But just like Venezuela.
Funny that Trump had said initially, these are reasonable people.
Yeah.
Then he comes out and says, well, they're irrational and they're scum.
Denny says they're really intelligent.
Did he say that, or Prime Minister Netanyahu?
He flips. We don't know.
That's why I don't listen, because he just flips. Even mid-sentence, he'll flip.
Yeah.
I just remember you heard of Anthony Bourdain. He was a British chef.
Yeah, chef.
And he went around the Middle East. And his comments about, he went to Gaza and was appalled at that. But he went to Iran. And he said, what beautiful people. You know, he was just enamoured with them. Mm. Yeah,
there's other people who've gone through there. Joanne Lumley had gone through there as part of her Silk Road trail.
Nice people. Yeah, we get the odd Iranian come in and call into our, you know, a thing for Palestine on the corner here at 1 and 2. We've had the odd Iranian come in and say hi and all that, you know, and... Yeah, seem fine.
They sound reasonable people.
It just shows the prejudice, though. They're not Arabs. They're Persians, but they're still Muslims. And so off it goes.
So what?
But we're still in the Crusades.
That seems to be the mindset.
The reasonable people.
That West is still a Crusades. Why they didn't go to the funeral? They're still in that Crusades mentality.
Al Jazeera again. I was talking. One guy said, would I be right in thinking that the reason that America doesn't go after North Korea is because they've got a nuclear weapon? He goes, yes.
Mm.
What happened to Libya? Gaddafi abandoned his nuclear program. They went in. If Iran did have the nuclear weapon, which they keep saying they don't want to have, not interest, would they be having this...
Israel would be a bit calmer on them, yeah.
Calm the farm, yeah.
But let's face it, the wet dream for Israel and America, it's still is that Iran disintegrates and they don't care about the people.
No, they don't even give a damn.
They don't care if it just ends up with a few, chiefs in little districts with the oil. People
they can do business
with. They don't care about the population.
No.
But it's never been broken up like they want. It never has been. Historically, the Sassanid Parthians, all those sorts of empires, were in that area, and they went small places.
Yeah.
So, as you say, Fred, it'll be a wet dream if they ever breaks up.
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't because it's unfair. But that's the danger, of course. Look at Libya. Libya has broken up into sort of warlords and all.
A basket case.
Yeah, you know, and the West doesn't seem to care.
Lebanon.
Yeah.
It's orchestrated. It's to their advantage to break these countries up so they can pick them off and just rape them for their
just
resources.
Pay that local chief for that bit of oil or that bit of gas, that's all they want.
That's what business is about.
Don't care.
And
unfortunately, I say the West deliberately because, you know, okay, Israel and America have been leading the charge on this one, but what does the West say about it?
Hardly a thing.
Yeah,
and that's
if they were independent, they would have gone to as a head of state. We would have sent we might not have sent the prime minister, but we would have sent a diplomat,
a representative.
Yeah, he's still a head of state.
This list tells us a lot.
It does.
The other thing, get back to domestic politics. New Zealand stands apart on the 1-year voting rule. This is something he's introduced because. He thinks that people who aren't New Zealand citizens should be able to vote. Under current law, permanent residents who live in New Zealand for at least 1 year can vote in parliamentary and local elections. He's up against, he wants just citizens. But I didn't realise that we are one of Chile, Ecuador, Uruguay and Malawi give all non-citizen permanent residents the right to vote in national elections. So I'm just wondering what you guys think about the... Should it just be citizens, or should it just carry on non-citizen permanent residents?
Depends how long they've been a permanent resident too. That comes down to that too.
I was just trying to remember my own experience. I didn't become a New Zealand citizen until 1984. I think I did vote in local elections.
And you probably paid your fair share of tax.
Yeah, if you got a job, you should be able to vote.
I think I participate in local elections, maybe a national one. But
if they've been here 1 year and they're paying their taxes, they can participate.
Well, he's trying to argue that this is skew within the results.
Oh, is that right?
It's only got to be only New Zealand citizens should be allowed to vote. It's all about
which we talked a little bit about last week about Peru, and it was the overseas vote that helped the right wing
across the line.
So
it should be discussed.
Of course, it should be discussed.
It should be a topic for.
I don't know enough about it to decide, I think.
It should be up for discussion.
I think one of the things that should allow you to participate is your ability to pay tax, your fair share of tax.
Yeah, your contribution to the
community.
Public purse and the community.
They probably pay more tax than some of the people that we vote for.
But the way you listen to Peter, it sounds a bit like a throwaway line. You really need to pin him down on the details.
But it's quite... My brother's been an Aussie for, I don't know how many years, nearly 20 years, but he still technically can vote New Zealand.
Mm.
He can still send his vote.
Yeah.
You know, well,
a lot of countries do. I mean, I could still, in theory, vote in British elections.
But is it right if you've actually left?
I've decided not to because I don't live there.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's like my brother doesn't either, to be fair to him, but it sort of thinks,
so should,
well...
should my vote have any sway on the people's life? I don't live there anymore, so I should stay out of it.
Well, it's a bit like having a beach house and you get the right to vote in your council elections.
Well, people do.
Yeah, and they can steer it to their direction and they don't even live there. It's just a land banking, a wealth transfer, voting based
on property.
Yeah.
And Seymour, he's always banging on about...
Yeah, they haven't changed it, I don't know.
No.
They haven't changed that one.
Multiple single votes.
Yeah, you know, we look into it, but they haven't come up with... Yeah.
He's not going to. Yeah.
No, he's only to feather his own nest.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one I caught my eye was call to rewrite disability bill. This has caused a few rupture. Waikato Disability Advocacy Group. You might come across some of this with your clients who've got maybe... difficulties. A Waikato Disability Advocacy Group has flagged multiple issues in a submission to Parliament. A Waikato group has slammed the proposed bill as it warns it could leave disabled people and their families in the lurch. The Waikato Enabling Good Lives submission on the Disability Support Service Bill argues that the bill should ensure any family or community support cannot be used to act entitlements. Now, she's put in the idea that families should be more involved in the care of these people with disabilities. And it's not going to be means tested, but it is going to be means tested because they're going to make these people jump through hoops as to whether they qualify for any support.
They presented a petition, didn't
so
they?
It's like a means testing by stealth.
They presented a petition to Parliament, was it last week? And the Labor spokesperson on the disability sector was there to receive that particular thing. People were to say that they were unhappy was probably an understatement.
So once again, they're going after the most vulnerable people.
Yeah, well, it's like they usually do.
Mm. Yeah, but this, and she actually had the call to say, "Oh, this won't be. Yes, you are going to means test it because you're going to make these people jump through hoops." So in an ideal world, you might have family that are supportive, and it does happen, but you might be in a person who's got a dysfunctional family, or you have got no family at all.
Yeah, that's the issue, eh? Mm. That comes down to that. So,
and then these people are going to have to prove that their circumstances are such that they require state-funded input.
Well, you've seen some of the people that they families have to look after.
Oh, and they're unpaid social workers.
Yeah. They don't get... Yes. Don't get any recognition.
Serious disability, what does that mean? Intensive care by family, usually.
Yeah. It's fine if you've got a functional family.
Yeah.
And it's got some money to be able to afford to provide support for people. But there's some families you can't or won't.
Yeah, we get the dysfunctional ones. Yeah, we get the dysfunctional.
You must cop some of this in your job.
Not necessarily. We know of people who are looking after a disabled adult child.
Right.
Disabled for whatever reason is, and there's other fears that coming into there. Like for example, they're in a state house. What's going to happen to my child?
What's going to happen after me?
And it's going to add to the stress of these people.
Because
they've got suddenly find, our support's not guaranteed. We might have to reapply or...
We're out of time.
We've run out of time on that very interesting subject. Sorry about that. You just catch us up. Oh, I caught myself on the hop. Sorry about that.
That's right.
You catch us on either our podcast or at freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.